stop at fields or countries. We like to go global. So I'm going to tell you about some of the work we've been doing at Rothamsted to try to develop tools for farmers in particular, but anybody anywhere, to understand the health of their soil. So I know that Debbie, we went to a workshop in Oxford, and I asked everybody to smell soil, and I'm not allowed to do that anymore. So all I'm going to say to you is that we intuitively, as human beings, understand what a healthy soil is. If you Google soil health and you go into images, you will get these sorts of images. They're always human hands holding on to a bunch of soil. It's usually dark, which indicates it's got organic matter in it. It looks moist, even though we can't tell. It has plants in it, and often it will have earthworms in it, indicating our understanding of the relationship between organic matter and life in soils. We're going on a little bit quickly here. This one I took this morning, this that came up on its own. I'm going to hold onto this button just in case it decides to turn again. This is what you find around the palm trees outside, right? It looks like soil. It's got a little hole in it here so the water can get in, but it's not soil, but we've made it look like soil, which I found quite entertaining. And if you have a look at this on the way home, have a look here. You can't quite see it. This is only a small screen, but there are roots of that tree are trying desperately to use that substrate. I think it's really interesting, you know, that we understand soil health and we make our own soil to pretend to behave like soil, but it's not. I'd like to speak to the person who decided to put that outside this building instead of looking after the soil that's there. So anyway, I work at Rothamsted, and it's the oldest agricultural research institute in the world. And if you have a look at what we've been doing for the last 175 years next year, we've spent most of our time thinking about soil quality. And I can see Ed Gregory standing there, and I know he completely understands soil quality and biological processes. But I think the way we've been viewing soils in agriculture in particular has focused just on This isn't going very well, is it? It's been focusing just on the interaction of physical and chemical processes in soils. Okay, so we really understand cultivation. We really understand how to correct the things that we've done to the soil, like by mining the nutrients. We put some back in from the Haber-Bosch process. We change the pH by using too much fertilizer, we'll lime it. And what's been missing from this, for a while at least, are the biological aspects. And I'm so pleased that Kate gave her excellent talk, because I don't have to explain to you about the macrofauna, the mesofauna, and the importance of the microbiological organisms in particular in soils. They are the things which drive the formation of the health of soils, and we are really at our peril to ignore that and not to nurture them as part of that system. Because we all understand what soil ill health is as well, right? So, and that's usually soil where the biology has not been looked after and either functioning at a very low level or has been damaged beyond repair. So here we have a beautiful picture from the Midwest showing what looks to be quite a healthy, productive cornfield with enormous accelerated water erosion washing through it, washing all that soil away. Just incredible. And that's because that soil has been denuded of its organic matter. Here's another picture of livestock farming. This is in Africa, and you can see the intensity of that grazing is causing that soil to become denuded and lost from that environment too. And in case you thought we were getting away with it in our green and pleasant land, I'm afraid we're not, particularly with climate change. We're having these very frequent heavy storms, and all this stuff in the English Channel down here is our natural capital, our topsoil literally going down the drain and washing out to sea. So, the relationship between unhealthy soil and production in agriculture is a huge threat to the whole world. And this map from a few years ago now, it's probably things have actually got worse since then, shows the global net primary productivity loss, which is driven by soil degradation. And you can see where the red areas are, in the southern hemisphere in particular, that these are associated with the rural poor in some of the countries that can least afford to have a loss of NPP, a loss of soil organic matter. And another example from the United States, I did a sabbatical over here a few years ago in Rattan and Lao, And this is one of the most compelling pictures that I have of my own, in my own library, which tells you how important soil health is and the connection with soil organic matter. And there's Martin Cipitalo. Hi, you did this work with me. Nice to see you. So this is Josh Beniston standing in a field of corn. On the right, it's way above his head. He's a big lad. He's 6'3". And there he is standing in another field. It's only up to his waist. Now, this experiment was a Coshocton watershed experiment, which unfortunately is now defunct. And it's a residue removal experiment, which had been running for decades. Now, these two fields are literally across the track from each other. They have had the same treatments, the same nitrogen. They've had the same weather conditions, the same corn seed. It's just that one has been under 100% no-till for 40 years, and on the other side, conventional till for 30 years. The difference between those two fields is the amount of organic carbon in the soil. And this was during 2012, during that terrible drought. And you can see that when push comes to shove with climate change, soil health, soil organic carbon, is really important and can make all the difference between a failed and a successful crop. So going back to the UK, so this is another great experiment at Rothamsted that we've been exploiting in a way that it wasn't intended to be in the first place. This is an experiment on the Highfield plots, and the same soil has been converted to different land uses for a long time. So if I can use this note. So up here on the right, it's a permanent fallow, no plants for 60 years. Next to it is arable rotation of wheat, the same land use for 50 years. And at the bottom there is high field soil, which has been under grass for about 200 years. And again, I don't need to ask you or provide any evidence. You can decide for yourself which is the most healthy soil in that picture. So a team of people, led by Penny Hirsch and Phil Murray at Rothamsted, did some work to find out what makes that soil healthy. What is it about that? So they looked at a chemical indicator of degrading soil, which is pH, which is this one here. And you can see there's no significant difference between the grass in green, the arable in yellow, and the fallow in red. These other measurements are total organic carbon, not surprisingly, just like Kate's picture, grass, arable, fallow. But if we look at the microbial responses in those soils, soil biomass carbon and respiration, the grass has a reasonable response against some contexts, which is, but these two here are not significantly different to each other, which shows you that, or suggests rather, that arable soils which have been badly treated are no better than a soil that's had no plants in it, which is quite scary. And if we look at the mesofauna as an indication of biological health in that soil, the permanent grass had tons. That's the green bit of that pie chart. The arable soils are blue, and they have less than that fallow plot, showing you the effect of cultivation on biological life in soils. If we look at those soils under a microscope, the arable soil looks like that. The grassland soil looks like that. The one at the bottom obviously has something in it which is holding soil particles together. And that's mostly fungal mycelia, but also biofilms and the mucilage of earthworms and rhizoexudates from plants. And it's that holding together of the soil by the exudates of biological organisms which gives rise to the aggregate slaking test that we're all familiar with. It's one of the Cornell soil health indicators and it's used all over the place. I wonder if I can make this work. Can I get out of this so I can run that? There's a little film.
Is it in the?
It's in it. Yeah. It's in there.
It's not. Well, there's no. There it is.
Oh, there we are. All okay. Right. So this is a film by Chris Watts. I'm using one of the aggregates from the grassland soil and one of the aggregates from the arable soil. And you can see that obviously the one on the right is just completely disintegrated. It's slaked. So when water falls on that soil in the field, that's what happens to it then as well. And I've shown this to lots of farmers. Lots of people have asked for this film because it's such great visual evidence of the quality of that, or the ability of us to understand soil health by using something physical that we can actually touch and manipulate ourselves. That's just water in those petri dishes. So that's focusing on experimental plots. We've worked with farmers trying out these techniques, looking at the relationship between soil carbon and soil aggregate structure, because the farmers that we work with want to understand how they might predict the soil organic carbon matter and soil organic carbon in their soil so that they can attract payment-free ecosystem services, and also so that they can improve their soils to improve their yields. So we've worked with farmers in the southwest, which is near to Northwick, which is part of Rothamsted, where Michael's head of, part of the livestock part of our research at Rothamsted. And the data here is showing you on the left, on the right rather, the amount of carbon in arable soils, and at the other end, woodland soils. So we were looking at farms which had more than one land use in them, and we collected soil from them. We looked at the carbon, and we looked at the aggregate stability in those soils, and you can see there's a direct one-to-one relationship between soil organic matter, soil carbon, and aggregate stability in farming soils. These are not experimental soils, these are from farms where people are doing real farming. And of course, the southwest of England, you might say, well, that's a fluke, it's you know, this is a high clay area, it's very wet, and very mild climate. You need to look at another area of England to make sure that what you're seeing is not just coincidence. So we did the same in the Cotswold region, which has much thinner soils over something called brash, if you understand the soils in the middle of England. A lot more arable farming there. And here is soil organic carbon going from arable again up to woodland in terms of perenniality. And here's the soil aggregate structure. Again, a one-to-one relationship between an indicator of soil health, which is soil aggregates and soil organic carbon on farms. So I said we don't want to stop there. We want to look beyond the UK, in fact, to see if we can start to think about these tools as something which anybody in the world can use, regardless of whether they have access to a laboratory, and in the most simple way possible. So we've used something called the Global Farm Platform, which is a network that which Michael Lee set up when he started working at Rothamsted, which is 14 farm platforms across the world where we have research relationships already set up. So we asked four of them if we could come to work with them in Malawi, in Kenya, in Colombia and Uruguay to see if we could try sampling their soils and to see if their aggregates were also related directly to soil organic carbon structure. And this just shows you one of the results from the Colombian case study. And yes, it did. It's exactly the same as what we were seeing in the farms on the UK and in the experimental sites at Rothamsted. And Claire Horrocks also, who led this study as part of a Newton Fund project, also looked at the fungal to bacterial ratios in those soils using 16S RNA and found that where the soils were more stable, there were more fungi in the soil, just the same way that Kate described earlier on. And situations where soils are really degraded, the question is, can we bring them back, if you like? So this is an experiment in Guizhou in China, where we're looking at desertification, where the soil has been so degraded by agriculture that it's being lost and you're actually losing function altogether. So using Kate's analogy with these different functional types of microbes, we use something called phospholipid fatty acid analysis, which many of you will know about. If you don't, it just allows you to look at broad ecotypes of microbes in the soil. And in just the way that Kate showed us, along the top there, there are the different types of organisms which we can view using PLFAs. We can actually look at the concentrations and how they change when the sloping farmland on the top here has been converted back or abandoned after 3 years. And you can see that in every case, the numbers of microorganisms increased, apart from actinobacteria. We don't really understand that response. But this indicates that if we do abandon degraded soil, that we can redevelop the health, the biology in the soil. So what does all this mean to farmers? Well, what farmers are really looking for is something which will help them economically. And there's some new data which we can show you, which we've been putting together with some colleagues in China, which is a meta-analysis of straw reincorporation into soil across China. And it's data from over 30 years. And it shows you that in every case, all the way across China, in every soil type, that yield grain of grains is increased by straw incorporation. And that effect is actually something which improves with time. And we've also done some work on the Northwick Farm platform, looking at the relationship between soil organic carbon in our fields that are used to feed pasture-fed livestock. And again, the live weight of ruminants is actually improved where you have more soil organic carbon because of its effect on some of the ecosystem services like water discharge and sediment discharge from the fields on our farm platform. So, simple tests for soil health are what we're about, but that are based on scientific evidence. And this four-page article, which is actually in the current issue of A Greener World magazine, which you can get online, was written so that farmers can use these different tests to start to develop a relationship with their own soil, which we know is related to soil health, particularly to soil organic carbon. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say. I have a little advertisement at the end. Thank you to all these people, obviously, and thank you to you. A little advertisement for the end. Any good postdocs in this audience who are looking for a job, we have got one which we would like to for you to consider, looking at the physical, chemical and biological mechanisms underpinning soil health. The closing date is next week. There's still time. So thank you very much.